welcome back to the second hour of the Real Survival Show with Tim and Lori Spencer and Rick Schmidt, who is out today because he's at work. But our last caller, David there in San Francisco, had a point. We had brought it up in the past about making sure that you know your native plants. Here in Missouri, they have a book for Missouri wildflowers. The book is completely in color, and it also has sketches of the plants where, you know, what parts are edible, what parts you can use for healing and everything else. And I also had brought up in a couple of our past shows a book that I actually purchased, which was The Lost Book of Remedies by Claude Davis. It's a really good, excellent book to have in your library. It tells you about different plants also, of which ones are edible, which ones you can make tea out of, which ones for paste, you know, some that you can even make flour out of for using for baking and stuff like that. I mean, they're just a couple excellent books to have. So if you haven't gotten these books, maybe now would be a good time if you can still get them. Like I said, just when it comes to your local plants, as far as the state that you're in, you might check with your conservation offices to see if they have any good books that you could purchase from them. If not, check a great bookstore if you've got one. But you need to know the plants that are in your own state that you're living in at the moment, of which ones are handy and, you know, like I said, that you can eat and use for medicine and stuff. So I can't urge you enough to do that. And if you can still find the book, Lost Book of Remedies by Claude Davis, that's another good one to have. Like I said, honestly, I think I paid maybe $20 for that one. But they're good ones to have on hand. There's also Folk Remedy Encyclopedia, which gives a bunch of home remedies that you can use using just products that you normally buy in the grocery store every day around the house. So, like I said, it's just something to look at. Okay, we have another caller on the line. We have Francis in North Carolina. Good morning, Francis.
Well, hello, kiddo. I just wanted to call and touch grounds with you for a moment or two, for that matter. It's been a while since I've called, and so I'm like, okay, time to give you a buzz. Giving all this that's been going on, so it's one of those go figure moments. So, I'm gonna turn the volume down on this radio. I apologize. Anyway,
okay. That happens.
Thank you. But yeah, there's so much idiocy I see going on when I go out shopping or whatever. It's like I hate to rehash already known subject matter, for that matter, but It, quite frankly, it makes me want to stay away from the cities. It really does. Even though we live out in the country and all that and so forth and have a farmhouse and ground, but you still have to go in sometimes to get some things, depending on whether or not they have anything on the shelf, period. So it definitely prompts you into wanting to get stuff growing at home, depending on what precautions you take to get things set up. So it's a whole different ball of wax or ball of thread, depending on who you're playing with, for that matter. And you know what's so funny is that whenever you have a person at the store that works there, and they point out to you that, we have signs on the floor saying you go this way or this is the wrong way or whatever have you, I'm thinking, before I could actually say one comment about they should do that in D.C., they had picked up their little ladder or whatever they were stepping on and left the area before I could say one word. And that was like, okay, if I get another one like that, I may not be going to that location ever again. I don't know. For one thing, I am not cattle that's infested with a plague. Two, I'm a human being. Three, if they want me to spend money there, i.e. Federal Reserve notes there, then they need to treat the customer like a customer and not some cattle to be directed where they want to go. I agree. They're doing about keeping a minimum of 6 feet of social distance away, and I'm like, you mean social engineering? Right. I mean, there's such a thing as a 3 foot distance for what's called personal space, but they're doing overkill. And I'm just not going for the psychological warfare when I see people walking around with a mask on their face. I mean, I've seen some doozies. And so I'm like,
okay, so I'm not alone.
Did you do what now?
I said, okay, so I'm not alone. I've seen some of those.
I kid you not. I'm thinking to myself, okay, either you're saying that you're having an issue with your own health, or besides the fact that you're afraid you're going to catch something from somebody else, or you're just falling for the psychological warfare, the whole mess. Because whenever they say that, oh, we can open up this back up and open that back up, people are going to still be wearing a mask. I mean, they're so mentally conditioned that they can't think for themselves. Myself, I don't walk around wearing a mask, so if I pick up something, my body's going to fight with it to get rid of whatever is going on. And
right.
I think I may have mentioned this before briefly, is that a while back they mentioned about, back in March, I think it was, that someone could have the viral bug for as much as a week and not even know they have it without showing any symptoms. And I thought,
right. You
know something? When they said that, it made me think very heavily that, okay, if that's the case, then the same could be said for the H1N1, the SARS, MERS, and whatever else bug they were going bananas with, swine flu, avian flu, who knows what, or a genetic concoction of all of those combined or whatever. Everybody could be carrying a bug from one of those as well from the past number of years.
The odds are we are, Francis. Here's the thing that's different about this COVID-19. Not only can you go for 14 days before getting sick, you can go your whole life without getting sick and still carry it.
Yeah, it's a well-designed bug like the rest of them, for that matter. And quite frankly, I would not want to be around the people that concocted this thing or created it, because their karma is going to bite them so hard, and they're going to wonder, why me? Why me? Guess what?
Right?
Here's another aspect of it, very briefly, for that matter, I apologize. I'm not sure if you remember when they unraveled the human genome back in the late 1990s, early 2000s.
Yes.
Okay. And then they started, from that point, they started going through this thing where they get offered to people one of three different organizations, either 23andMe, Ancestry, or something, family, whatever, family lineage or something other, .com, where you could send in a sample of your blood or whatever to have your DNA checked to see what your family heritage was or whatever have you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering this. I'm wondering if when they tricked people into doing this to see what their family heritage was, that was their way of doing a data mining of who would be vulnerable to what, so they could turn around and create something that would take out so many people or affect so many people of a certain background or whatever as a result. They get basically people went for that, basically give them all the ammunition they need.
Here's the thing on that, Francis. Remember, since the late 1980s, Fort Detrick has been trying to come up with race-specific viruses.
Thank you.
And, you know, this has been going on forever.
Yeah.
You know, they already had the racist DNA figured out, you know, which races had what parts that made them that race. And they have been using that since the 1980s to try to come up with something. And my guess is they probably have come up with something.
I think it's inevitably true, because supposedly this one was supposed to be directed to two different aspects. One, mostly towards males, And two, it may have been kind of a tweak or whatever, I don't know, but it was supposed to have been used against Asian backgrounds. So the question is...
heard that initially, early, that it was mainly affecting Asians, okay? But here's the thing. Regardless of the fact they're saying it doesn't mutate or doesn't mutate fast, it either A, was not designed to attack only Asians, or B, it mutated to get everybody. Right now, in the U.S. and in the United Kingdom, most of the victims, or not most, I won't say that, a higher percentage of the victims are Black. So either, and that's because, they say that's because of comorbidity factors like heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and stuff like that. And that makes sense, too. But, you know, if they originally designed this to attack Asians, then it's mutated tremendously.
Well, maybe it was designed to mutate tremendously because of the aspect of what else they could take it to. I mean,
easily.
When you have a scientific medical field that's bent on taking people out every which way but loose, as per 5 or 7 years ago when Bill Gates made a comment about a pandemic or whatever, he was blatantly saying that, you know, this is what we're going to do to you people, whether you like it or not. And I couldn't believe he actually had the lack thereof of balls to actually make that comment, but in such a subtle way that's like, oh, what will we do if this happens? I'm sorry. I hope he bites every bit of his karma and enjoys every bit of it that he and everybody else that's in the bioengineering, genetic engineering field gets what they deserve, because, believe me, that is a crying shame against humanity.
Well, Francis, I've got a copy of a video he did on a TED Talks, and he said, we're going to use immunizations or vaccinations to control, or he might have said control, he might have said reduce the population of the world. I mean, he flat out said it.
Yeah, he would say control. It's not like they can't use that same thing, because people are not going to question what's in it to start with. They can put whatever they want in that blooming shot.
Well, not for me.
Welcome to my boat. If I had somebody come to me with a needle and say, well, this is to take care of this, I was like, sweetheart, you first. And hit the road. Because you come near me with a needle, excuse me, you're taking your own life in your own hands. Because I will not put up with it. So I would rather die a natural death than have someone check some kind of crap in my system that I don't know what's in it. I won't do it.
Right. Well, that's the reason, you know, they offer me a flu shot at the VA every year.
Ouch.
And I have yet to find one person that works for the VA that hasn't told me, no, I didn't take the shot.
Whoa. Probably because the aspect of making sure that they are not ratted on, perhaps.
Right. Or, I mean, they told me in confidence, but nobody I know that works in the medical profession, and at our local hospital, too, takes the flu shot. I always ask in a way that makes them trust me. I'm not naming names. Actually, I don't remember any of them. I honestly have never had one of them tell me, yes, they take the shot.
Right. Well, it's interesting you mention that, because on a final thought, I apologize because I could keep going like crazy. When my other half was taken to the hospital back in early February, there are two quick points about this. One, they asked me if he had a flu shot, and I said, I don't remember if I said yes or no or whatever, but they automatically, even though he could not respond to them properly, and even though I'm his ball and chain, I could not say yay or nay to them giving him a dose of Tamiflu, which I kind of find out is a synthetic concoction of a flu vaccine. And I thought, oh, my gosh.
Well, actually, it's an antiviral.
Okay.
It's an antiviral.
Gotcha. And so they gave it to him even without my permission, let alone, only because he was incapacitated and he couldn't speak for himself. Now,
right.
The irony is that when he was finally taken from the ER to the ICU, CCU, the one nurse that was there when I got they finally allowed me to the room and explained who I was, she said, oh, good, then I have several questions for you. And the question was so roundabout vague that you didn't see what was coming. They simply asked, well, did you folks ever do any travel recently? And I'm like, are you kidding? Who can afford to travel this day and time? So that pretty much nipped that in the bud because they're thinking that he probably traveled to, like, China or Asia or who knows where or whatever the case was. So there was no possibility of him having to come down with corona or whatever. So,
right.
Long story short of it, that was about it. So, but right now he's at home. He's doing his physical therapy and all that stuff after being in the hospital for basically a month and a half between two different ones.
Wow, what got him? That is, if you want to say, you don't have to. I was just curious. Ah.
About what?
No, I was wondering what put him in the hospital.
Oh. Well, for one, he had the flu to start with in early February. He had no idea what he had or where he picked it up from. Turned around and brought it home, gave it to me, and I found out from the hard way what he had because I got laid on my tail for about 2 or 3 days. I mean, this thing just sucks your energy out, and you just have to lay there and rest. And
wow.
It took a lot of focus to get up and even go to the bathroom. But I pulled out of it slowly but surely and had to get him in order, only to find out that we had to go to a local doctor's office and kind of find out that he had developed what's called acute bronchitis from it. And 2 or 3 days he was supposed to go back, which I was not informed of, and that set off what is called diabetic acidosis or something like that.
Yeah, I have that occasionally.
Right, and so he did what I would refer to as funky breathing, where he can't throw off whatever is building up in his system. And so it got to a point where he was bouncing in the wall, going from the bathroom back to the bed, like my sister I would call a drunken sailor walk. And so when that happened, I thought, okay, that's it. I know he didn't like the ambulance. I know he didn't like the hospital, but I turned around and made an executive move and call an ambulance. They checked his blood sugar when I mentioned about it. It was over 400. And they said, okay, you're going. And so by the time they got him to the ER, his blood sugar had jumped up to over 900.
Yeah.
And
that's
so,
when the machine goes ERR. In other words, error. It can't read it.
It's crazy. And so, interestingly enough, long story short of it, they went to fit a multi-channel IV into his system. First one he pulled out, not being aware of what he was doing. And the second time
Hang on just a minute. I'll let you finish your story on the other side of the break, okay?
Okay.
1-800-313-9443, folks.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Ship, and here's what they had to say. We're calling everyone to ride along to another shore. We can laugh our lives away and be free once more.
And welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. We are speaking with Francis in North Carolina. Okay.
Hello, kiddos.
Yeah.
Well, okay. In short, basically, he's in the ER. They went to set the multi-channel, and unfortunately, when they went to do that, they went and gave him a sedative, and they said it was a low dose. And I thought, as weak as this dude is, and you're going to give him supposedly a low dose of a sedative, which unfortunately caused him to stop breathing.
Wonderful.
Oh, I thought so, after they told me after the case, because they had to shoehorn a breathing tube down his throat to connect him to a respirator. And so thinking to myself, oh, this is just ducky. This is like the wee hours of the morning of a Sunday morning, mind you. And I'm lost asleep, lack of food, and who knows what, and I'm trying to keep myself pulled together. And then on top of that, I come to find out later on while he was in the ICU CCU that they moved him to, oh, they come up and say, oh, by the way, he has a pocket of air between his heart and his sternum. We need to move him to another hospital in case there's a bacterial outbreak or something in his in that air pocket. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. They have no idea where it came from. They thought it was there automatically to start with. And I thought, well, for one thing, when he came here, there was no air pocket between his heart and his sternum.
Francis, there is something called a spontaneous pneumothorax, And most of the time, they never have any idea what causes it.
Uh-huh. Well, that could be true, too. However, knowing him, he's never had a report of something like that occurring prior to this. So the only thing I could derive, I even mentioned about, and they scoffed at it as being a half-half chance of it occurring, is that when they went to shoehorn the air tube in, they aspect that they perforated the windpipe.
It's possible, completely possible.
So that's the, and so they scoffed off at it. And I said, well, that's the only thing I can think of, because if he's been to the doctor's office and had an x-ray done prior to this, they would have showed something like that. But in general, so they tried adamantly to try to get him moved to another hospital or whatever, because they weren't equipped for this or that. And I was like, okay, is the antibiotics going to be different than what it is here? And they said, no. I said, in that case, he's not moving. If he's still got the breathing tube in his windpipe at the moment on the respirator and all that, no, he's not moving, especially since he's under sedation or medically induced sedation. So it was insanity. And the only way I could keep him off the sedation, only to find out later that, which was to come in there early in the day to stay as long as I can. But what I kind of found out later is that when he was semi-conscious or pretty conscious or whatever, he doesn't remember any bit of being in ICU or CCU. That part of his memory for that two-week period is gone. There's no memory at all.
I can sympathize with that. I actually can from my open heart surgery. There's 4 days that I lost entirely, like they never even happened. In my mind, they still didn't.
Right. Exactly. I mean, he could hear things, he could see stuff, but he has no memory. I mean, the only thing he knows that is that he says that he has very strange dreams that made no sense or scared the living out of him. And so I'm thinking, and I'm trying to piece this together, because whenever I went in to see him, I would talk to him repeatedly about this, that, whatever, have you. And he doesn't remember any of it.
I understand. I've been there. I've done that, Francis. And it is the strangest feeling. And Lori can testify that it is very frustrating when I call her up and say, are you coming to see me today? And she'd already been there, and I didn't remember a bit of it. Right, Lori?
This is true.
Good gosh. Well, unfortunately, he wasn't able to call up anybody, so the only thing I was able to do was to go in and see him in person. So it was one of those interesting moments. Even when they transferred him to another floor of the same hospital, there a lot of his memory with that is not there. Until near the end, when they actually got ready to move him to a rehabilitation center, and he has a little bit of memory near the end of that before he was transferred, and that's it. So whenever he asks me about something, I have to go back and relate it to him of what I remember, and on top of that, what I marked on the calendar about what happened when and so forth and whatever for that month and a half to 2 months. I mean, I think I could give an amusement park an idea of what a roller coaster nightmare should look like. It was a riot, and you know something, I could not wish this on my worst enemy of what I went through. I could not do it, because it would be inhuman.
All right. Well, Francis, we got to wrap it up. But thank you for calling. We really appreciate it.
Oh, have
call
a great one.
Next
week.
You
have
too.
A great weekend. Take care.
You too, Francis.
Ma'am. We'll be back in 3 minutes, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. We've been talking with our callers from one side of the U.S. to the other this morning about things that are going on where they're at and their comments about what's going on. We've also reminded you about making sure that you know what your native plants are in the state that you're living in. And the reason I say the state you're living in is because it may be the state you weren't born in or raised in, so you're not used to those native plants. Yeah, so please make sure that you know. And, you know, at first some people thought I was being funny when we commented when we were doing our garden to also remember to plant your flower gardens. But you got to keep in mind, those flower gardens bring in the bees, the butterflies, the insects that are going to pollinate your, right, they're going to help pollinate your vegetable gardens and all. So while you're making sure you have plenty of food for your family, make sure that you've got those flower gardens going too. And you can plant the ones that are perennial so they come back every year so you don't have to worry about them. But, you know, us women, I know, we do have our few favorites that we have to redo it annually, but hey, it's all good. Yeah, so if you don't have the flowering trees in your yard, I mean, where we live, we have the dogwoods, the flowering pears, and stuff like that. So they bring in insects.
Lots of red buds.
Yes, but, you know, if you don't have, like I said, if you don't have these plants that actually will bring in the insects to help pollinate things, definitely get your flower gardens going so that they can help pollinate your vegetable garden. We've also, over our time on the air, we've talked about if you don't have the land for a garden, you can do container gardens, you know. You can build yourself some little raised beds, you know, and do your garden that way. You can use a vertical garden, okay, whether it's taking old soda bottles and turning them into one big hanger on your patio or whatnot. You can plant things in them to grow. We've given you different options and different ways, so we hope that you're at least trying some of them, if you can, to at least make things a little better for yourself and your family. But also, you know, like I say at the end of every show, don't forget the elderly and the homeless. If you have extra that you can share, please do so. Just because we're going through rough times doesn't mean we need to lose what little humanity we have left in us.
I so agree with that one, Lori. You have no idea how much I agree with that one. Folks,
I mean,
let me throw something in real quick, Lori.
Okay.
You know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know, everybody talked about the end of the world as we know it. And one of the prevailing thoughts was, anybody that comes up to my house, I'm going to shoot first and ask questions later. Folks, I know that thought still permeates a lot of the prepper society community. Don't do that. Please don't do that. You will have a hell of a time living with yourselves for the rest of your life, regardless of any legal consequences. If there's absolutely none, that will haunt you the rest of your life. It's so much better to grow some extra and be able to give somebody a meal than it is just to blow away somebody because they walk up your driveway and, you know, they might have a gun or a stick or whatever. Doesn't mean they're going to attack you. Now, if they come up shooting, by all means, kill the shit out of them. But don't be quick to pull that trigger, guys. I swear to God, it will haunt you the rest of your life. All right, Lori, I just wanted to throw that out there. Go ahead and finish what you were, or talk about what you were talking about.
Well, you know, we see commercials on our TVs and everything all the time about other countries where they have homeless people on the streets and everything else. And for some reason, I guess America is just not big on showing it all the time, but there are homeless people out there, you know, women and children, men, that have no place to live because they've lost their homes due to whatever the reason. So if you're walking by some of them, you know, hey, hand them something to eat if you can, you know, or if you go to the grocery store and you know you have to walk past someone that might need something, grab a little extra while you're in the store and pass it out to them. It's just, you know, I take common courtesy, but not everybody thinks of it that way. But I know as people as a whole, we do have a lot of humanity left in us, and we need to start showing it and sharing it. 'Cause some of these people, you know, less fortunate than ourselves, just can't seem to get back to where they need to be to take care of themselves, take care of their families, or whatever the case may be. You know, it's just, I don't know. I mentioned it one time on one show that there was a city, and to be honest with you, I can't remember where it was, but instead of planting pretty little flowering trees and stuff along their city walkways and stuff. They were actually planting fruit trees and stuff. And I still And I still think that that is a wonderful idea, because the city was letting whoever needed the fruit go up and pick the fruit, you know, and take it home with them. And the homeless, you know, if they needed it, hey, it's there for them to take without any consequences, without anybody jumping them or saying, hey, get away from that tree. They didn't feel guilty about taking the fruit from the tree because it was there for everyone. So, you know, if you have any influence over your towns that you're in, there's still hope. You can still plant those trees, you know. but for people like us, we live in a rural area. So, yeah, like I said earlier, Dick County here in Missouri hasn't had any cases of the outbreak of the flu, or the virus, I should say. And, yes, like Francis was saying, you know, yeah, there's these little signs when you go into the store, stay 6 feet away, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Even here in Dent County, the stores have put these little tape things on the floor saying go this way, go that way, stand 6 feet apart. But you know what I've noticed? Nobody is really paying attention to it here, especially in where we're at. And, yeah, there's a few of our people who are wearing the mask and everything. And, yes, the stores have put up those little pieces of plexiglass between you and the cashier. But as I pointed out to the cashiers here at our Walmart store, it really is not going to do you any good because the virus is airborne. It's just going to go up, around, and under that little piece of plexiglass, you know. So you can take all the precautions you want. But for unknown reasons, if you were meant to get this bug, you're going to get it. And we also
I don't want to interrupt. But we don't have much time left, and we do have a caller.
Okay, go ahead.
Good morning, Tom.
Well, okay, now I'm on, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, you know, personally, I'm a hardcore vegetarian. That's because of my experience in pathology. But I'm going to give a little advice, the truth in, you know, in how to say, we're going to have to become rather efficient in our utilization of nutrients. So here's what we know. If you are living on a plant food program, your digestive system is about 90 to 100% efficient in uptaking of the nutrients because you're operating on what's called enzyme digestion. But as soon as you bring in a piece of animal tissue, which is a material like your own body, your body has to go into a deliberate digestive program called ABBM, acid, base, bacteria, mucus. And the mucus, of course, is intended to protect your intestinal wall and your body tissues, which are made exactly the same protein structures and fat structures of the thing you consume. So when you're going to eat a piece of meat, and you know, I'm not going to tell everybody to go vegan or vegetarian. That ain't going to happen. But when you're eating a piece of meat, try to do it on a separate day or a separate meal from the other meals, which are, you know, where you've basically consumed just plant material. So right. You'll go from a 90% efficiency when you're eating plant material only. But if you take in a stew or a piece of meat or something like that with your meal, your body actually will drop down to about a 20 to 30% nutrient reward for the food you eat. So I think the old wisdom was when you have meat on one day or week or 2 days a week, and you had the rest of your meals pretty much the garden food. That's the best return on your you know, your expenditure into that garden food, and you'll get back more energy, more benefit, and that includes protein, because you know, cows don't make protein don't get their protein by going to McDonald's. They get it out of right. the fodder they eat. So you have the same capacity to do that. When you eat your beans and your, you know, your grains or whatever, you're going to get that full complement of amino acids just like the cow does. So if at best you can try to stay garden focused, And if you're intent on having even an egg or a glass of milk or a piece of meat, do that separate. Better a separate day and a separate meal. And then the rest of your meals should be just totally or absolutely plant-based. You'll get the best return. By the way, a little side note, I don't know if you heard me earlier today on Farron's program. I did kind of a rant because of my...
I was outside working.
Oh, okay. Shame on you. You shouldn't be working. You should be sequestered. I'm calling the COVID police right now.
Yeah. Somebody else might be walking around 50 acres I don't know about.
Yeah. Yeah, the farmer next door, you could have infected him.
That's
it's such
true.
Nonsense. It's such nonsense. The reality is these organisms cannot survive in the sunlight, oxygen, or in the cosmic energy of space. They have to be wrapped, enveloped in a carbon compound, which you and I both understand. It's CHO 27461. That's the number of carbon atoms, the hydrogen atoms, right? That particular material which shields these organisms from the lethal rays of the sun, and the oxygen is cholesterol. So the plant material will never deliver you any live or infectious particle. It'll deliver you the carcasses of those because the birds fly above, they poop in the air. That poop dries and falls to the ground. It may land on your tomato or on your apple. By seeing that dead body in that food, your body builds antibodies against that particular organism. That's called natural immunity. That's right. Why I tell Ken, you know, pet your dog, but don't eat him. The bacteria that's inside of a cow or inside of a chicken or inside of your pet dog will find its way to his surface, his fur, hide, whatever, feathers. And as you handle that animal without gloves, your body is looking at those organisms and building antibodies to deal with them in the event that you somehow mistakenly get a live one inside. So
well,
there is a benefit.
Let me interrupt here right along those lines. And I might have said this before, and if I have, folks, I apologize. But there was a deal here about 10 years ago out in California where a bunch of city kids went to a petting zoo, and a lot of them got sick, and some of them died from playing with sheep and goats, if you can believe that. And,
I have kids
here on the farm, they play with sheep, goats, chickens, snakes, llamas, horses, cows, everything on a daily basis, and it doesn't bother them a bit.
Quite frankly, I have a little hard time accepting that story about the petting zoo.
Well, you just know what I read in the LA Times. I wasn't.
Yeah, I know. It's there. I've heard it before, too. But you have to look for some way that they got a really large dose of these infectious agents, and they had to be live. A petting zoo, if you're touching the sheep or the goat, you're touching their exterior. I guess the only way these kids would have gotten these diseases, and I hate to say it this way, is to become like a dog sniffing the butt of a goat, where there's fecal material fresh and wet coming out. And even the saliva is a low risk, because your saliva is like Lysol. It's not nearly as potent as Lysol. But like the old tradition of the Native Americans is, if you got a wound, let your dog lick it. The saliva of a dog is very lysemic. You know, so it's really next to impossible to get sick from just handling or even being, you know, hugging your cat or your chicken or your dog. By the way, I had my daughter, she had a pet chicken. She would go around, pick that chicken up, pack it around with her, and she was my healthiest kid. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, only thing I could think of these kids in California is they just had zero immunity to anything was the only thing I could think.
By the way, my daughter that had this pet chicken, when she found out that pet chicken had been turned into food, from that point on, she was mad at me for cutting that chicken's throat, and she would never touch anything that she knew was either chicken or animal, because she was just such an animal lover. Like right. I say, she's my healthiest kid. You know, she loves the chicken but doesn't wrap her lips around it. And the fact is, again, the viruses, bacteria, and parasites cannot survive outside in the environment. Otherwise, God is cruel or dumb, right?
Right.
Because he tells us in the first of the words to Adam and Eve, partake of the garden freely. Well, if the virus and bacteria survived in the garden, that'd be pretty malicious.
Yeah. Well, buddy, we're out of time. We got to close out the show, Tom. Thank you for your call. We'll talk to you again next week. Ladies and gentlemen, no more calls. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Close the show.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And we're back. I want to thank our listeners and our callers for tuning in today. We have no more time for callers today, so this is the part where we wrap up the show. So, Dear, did you want to go first?
Sure. First thing, folks, I'd like to invite you to try a product called Extendivite. You hear the commercials all the time here on RBN, but if you're like me, you just sort of tune out the commercials. folks, this product is real, and it does help. They are also our sponsors, but I'm not just saying that. Lori and I both use it daily. I like the liquid. She likes the capsules. But it really does help. Yeah, Rick uses it too. That's right. But, folks, if you haven't tried it, I'd really consider trying it. It really helps with your blood circulation, and it is a good product. Don Wiskin is a personal friend of mine. We have him on the show 3 or 4 times a year. We're going to have him back again in August. It is a good product, so I encourage you to try it. Heartdrop2000.com. That's heartdrop2000.com. If you forget that, you go to ruralsurvival.life, and there's a banner probably a quarter way down the page. Click on that. It'll take you there. But, it's a good thing, and we do encourage you to try it. All right, folks, our subject today, when we got off subject, mainly my fault, was the food shortage. It is already here. It's going to get worse. Prepare accordingly. Do what you think is right. I plan on buying some more meat here in the next day or so and doing some canning. I got plenty of quart jars. And canning meat is easy as long as you know what you're doing. It's very safe. But I plan on doing some serious canning. I'm going to buy some cheap cuts of meat and turn some into hamburger. I'm going to do some stuff like that. It works, guys. You know, it's better to be prepared. It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. But here's the thing. You can always use it. It ain't going to go bad. So just like putting money in a savings account, it's there when you want it. And you might not have to go to the store when things are really difficult. You already have it. So that's the main point I wanted to make. Lori, what do you got, sweetie?
Well, I just want to remind our listeners about Front Sight. That's a good deal. If you haven't gotten it in the past, that's a deal that they only offer through RBN. So if you are interested, like you said, you can go to Foresight's site itself website, or you can go to RBN and click on their link there to get the deal.
To get the deal, Lori, they've got to go to RBN, and they'll get Dan Sutterfield's phone number, and they need to call him.
Okay. Anyway, no time for our last prayer, so all I can say is God bless, everybody stay safe, and please remember to give from your heart. God bless, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.